Fred Film Radio.
Joining us on the Big Fred Tuesday are David Erdies and Georg Guttmach, directors of Bellum, The Demon of War, screening at this year's Vision du Réel. Guys, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thanks.
This is a real pleasure. We are going to be talking about Bellum, The Demon of War. This is kind of one of those films that I would sort of struggle to provide an introduction for our listeners who are not familiar with the film yet. Would you guys maybe be able to say a few words and then we'll get into it in more detail?
Yes, so Bellum is a documentary, an essayistic documentary about war. It takes place in three different parts of the world where we are kind of connecting three seemingly disconnected people and realities and try to kind of woo a story about how these people are part of creating the narrative of war. So on one side, we have a guy who's working with a drone program in the US, in the Nevada desert. And in Sweden, we have a scientist who is developing future technologies, one could say, AI, artificial intelligence, that are used in, among other things, defense industry. And the third character is an American photographer who works kind of covering war in different parts of the world.
Okay, so guys, there's so much that I want to ask you about this particular film, but because I'm lucky enough to have both of you on the line, actually, you co-directed the film together, I'd like to know a little bit about your collaboration. I mean, how long have you guys known each other, and what has been your mission statement, if you will, of this collaboration?
We actually went to the same high school, or after high school in gymnasium in Sweden. But we got to know each other we were 22, and we started talking, and we couldn't stop speaking, I think, for an entire night, and it's been kind of like that since then. So we're very good friends, and the creativity has always been a part of that. We've had creative ideas, and we've made a film also about 15 years ago together, and we always bounce ideas off one another and such.
What was the topic of that initial conversation?
I think traveling. We were both like, we wanted to see the world, and that was one part of it, but we were just, I remember it as being a very, you just couldn't stop talking. It's almost like falling in love with a friend, if you have those very strong friendships.
But were you already discussing the possibility of making films together?
No, that came later.
Yeah, I think at that time I was like a hippie playing drums, and I remember George was always saying that because we didn't use mobile that much, so we lived kind of close to each other, and he always said, like, I went out and I listened where the drums were playing, and then I knew where you were. But then it was like in the beginning of 2001, that we. George was working on another film in Mexico, and I was doing a still photo reportage there. So we kind of hooked up, and then I think that was the point where we started discussing films, and then it took us kind of to different places of the world. And we have had a lot of different ideas, and the first film we did, Citizen of Ketch, finished in 2009, and then we started this film in 2013. So it's now been 8 years since we started this film.
Right. So, I mean, travel and film are two things that kind of merged in the work that you do together.
Yeah. I mean, I would say today is not so much about travel. It's more about making films, I would say. The travel, we both have kids, and it's more of make things more complicated, I would say.
Yeah, yeah.
The part of traveling.
Yeah. Let's just say that, it was a point of formation for you guys, the traveling part. But having said that, with this latest film, you also did a little bit of traveling. We'll get into that a little more now. Fascinating work. In your introduction, you mentioned that it kind of revolves around three protagonists. It's interesting that they're all three part of the same world, essentially, the world of war, if we can call it that. But I was also thinking while I was watching it that they're probably, I wouldn't see them really ever sitting down to have dinner together.
No,
that's right. It's kind of they are very, they're different aspects of war, really, like you say, and they're quite disconnected also, and that's kind of one of the points of the film, I think, that we are all, I mean, they're doing the little piece. Paula sees the victims of war through her lens, but the people who create the technology for war have very little to do with her life and the people on that side. So
Yeah.
And it was a bit of a challenge, I mean, for quite a long time, I think, that we it was a lot of intuition that we wanted to follow these characters, and we knew that there was something connecting them, but we were also interested in this disconnectedness, that we, that something happens in the friction between those stories. And in a way, that's where the story actually has its focus, in the friction between those different characters and how their actions have kind of repercussions in each other's lives.
Yeah. And just before we talk about that, what was the starting point for you guys when it came to working on this film?
We have two different journeys, I guess, but I had started to make a film about that I never finished, about Swedish defense industry, because we are actually, at the time, we were the biggest exporter of weapons per capita in the world, and we have a little bit of a different outlook. We talk a lot about the Nobel Peace Prize. It's actually in Oslo, but it's still a Nobel Prize, is Swedish, and the self-image of Swedes is like, we're a peaceful country, we haven't been to war for centuries, but we're making a lot of money on that, and I thought that was an interesting subject. So I came into contact with Fredrik. But then the actual idea for this film came from David a bit later.
Yeah, I think my point of view was through the drones initially, and I was probably not the only one, because there were a lot of films being made about drones. And I remember listening to the radio in the morning, and I heard the news about two potential or suspected terrorists were killed by a drone attack. And then I started kind of digging into how does this work, where are the operators sitting, and how are their everyday lives, and but then pretty soon there were a lot of films being made about this, and I also felt that the drone was, or we were discussing that the drone in itself is not that interested. It's interesting, it's more the development of war, and also kind of going back to almost like human nature. Why do we actually fight wars? And of course, it's a big question to answer, but we got more interested in the human aspect of war than the actual technology. The technology is more it comes from us as humans. So we were more going into the human aspect of it than the technology in itself.
Right, because as well as the technological aspect represented by the engineer developing AI for the defense industry, you've also got the military contractor, and then you've got the war photographer, which was interesting to me, because in the context of the film, if we look at the AI for the defense industry as representing the future of war, in a way, the military contractor represents a more traditionalist idea of war that we have of men actually going out there and fighting these wars. And then it's all sort of, the meeting point is not the photographer herself, but the camera itself, which I thought was fascinating. I wondered whether that was also part of the structure of the film, or influenced the structure and the nature of the film too. This past, present and future, the concept of time.
Yeah, I mean, I think, in a way, if we start at with the drone, then of course that is kind of, it's a scary dead object flying around in the air. And for me, that was kind of, this is the future of warfare. But then we started going back, like, we started looking at, like, for example, Bellum, the Demon of War, which is an old fable, where we started going back in history and how we have been fighting wars, and how war have been, creating new civilization, destroying civilizations, creating democracies, destroying democracies, etc. So I think we kind of, the way that we approached the film was to always go back and forward in time. And that's why it also became interesting to look at the photography, with the Paula's photography, when she's actually developing these pictures in an analog way. So yes, I do think that was something that helped us create the structure of the film, that we were not only looking at where are we going in the future, but also kind of bouncing backwards to where do we come from?
We've been talking about the protagonists of the film so far of this documentary, all three offering very different perspectives on war and the bureaucracy of war, but still very much from the so-called Western world, right?
Yeah, that was definitely a conscious decision. It wasn't always so. I mean, we definitely had ideas of showing other parts, but we felt that it was interesting to, because we have very good films about victims of war, etc. But we thought that it was, the access we had was a little bit different and interesting in another way. I mean, we through Paula's picture, you can see, I think, which is an important part of the film. You can see that people are affected by war. But it's very much a Western film. It's addressed at us, ourselves, in a way. You know, we are quite far away from wars, and so are our protagonists, apart from Paula. So we thought that was an interesting thing to look at in itself. It's kind of hard also to put victims of war together with somebody who's military or creating war technology without making it a very unbalanced film, because somehow they are living in their worlds, and that's also one of the points of the film.
And I think we were also interested in the kind of the everyday bureaucracy of war, people who are in the middle of it, but not kind of in the front line or the typical portrays of people in war, but these are the kind of the people behind who is working, having the 9 to 5 work, but they're still part of creating this narrative of war.
The bureaucracy that creates the narrative of war.
Mm.
Do you ever feel that dilemma as filmmakers yourselves?
Yeah, of course. I mean, this is there is a small glimpse in the film where we are also filming ourselves. I think, of course, we are part of it, and I think we are all part of it. We pay our taxes, and a lot of the money that goes into this to the taxes or the stock market is actually money that goes directly to warfare. So we are complicit to war, all of us, and by doing this film, we are also part of creating a narrative, and that's one of the discussions that we really want to raise with this film as well.
But in revealing this bureaucracy of war, as you said, was it difficult to do that? Sometimes these things, people aren't so keen, or at least that's the perception that people have, is that people aren't so keen to reveal their lives, particularly when it comes to the engineer developing the AI for the defense industry.
Yeah, we were actually, I have to say, I'm quite impressed by Frederick that he took part of this, because it was a big risk for him, and he didn't really know what type of film we were going to make, and of course it is a critical film, but he still accepted it. So I thought that was nice of him. We think we had quite special access, but still it was like the very hardcore stuff we don't have access to, unfortunately. So and that's the difficulty in making a fiction film like Babel. We could script it, but we can't follow Bill into the base, and we can't film when the serious industry talks about arms sales are happening, but we tried to get as close as we could.
What about the military contractor who, of the three, was the one that I wondered the most how you actually met him?
It started with when we started looking into where these operators were actually sitting. We found Creech on Google Maps, and then, you know, looking at Google Maps, we found that there was a small trailer park community just up on the other side of the street called Indian Springs. You could actually go down with Google Maps and walk the streets. And then we found this bar called the Oasis, and we felt that this bar must be super, super interesting. So we went there, without knowing anyone. We just rented a car. We went there. We sat to have a beer. The first guy we saw came in was this guy called Swede, who is also in the film, a Vietnam veteran. And we were pretty scared at that time, to be honest, because we were like, how this is just on the opposite side of the road from this Air Force base. Who the hell are we, you know? But then we spent some time there and actually had a lot of shots and beers. And eventually we got to know people there, and they started accepting us. But we didn't find, and we felt that this was really interesting because it was like a microcosmos of American war history there. You had people from the Second World War until the people who are fighting wars today. So it wasn't until the second time that we came there a couple of months later that Bill walks into the bar, And later we found out that he had just gotten back from being deployed in Afghanistan. And it was something about him that really stood out. So we started talking to him, and I mean, it took some time before he let us in and let us, you know, start filming him. But I mean, we felt immediately that he was the guy that we were interested in.
It's good to hear that alcohol is still useful for kind of creating these bonds. Particularly because when I think about it, you know, having a camera pointed at you must not be an easy experience for most people. But what you were able to capture was pretty intense. And I felt that all three were kind of willing to open up too.
Yeah. I mean, it took time. And I mean, as I said before, we have been filming for eight years. So it took a lot of time to gain their trust. And little by little, they kind of opened up to their more private spheres in lives.
Looking at the film itself, the rhythm of the film I found very interesting. I also found it to be quite meditative and at times even impressionistic. What is the type of connection that you kind of look to establish with the audience with a film like Bellum?
One of the things is we wanted it to be a film that offers time for reflection. So looking at ourselves, which we did, and maybe the audience can do the same. So that's one of the reasons we had that tempo and those voiceover by a Swedish poet that adds a sort of philosophical layer to the film.
And we also had, high cinematic ambitions with the film already from the outset. So I think that is also a matter of time that we actually, you know, took time to find the right shots and, spend a lot of time with these characters and in these locations.
Including appropriately shots filmed with a drone.
Yeah, exactly.
So the style kind of reflects also the actual subject of the documentary.
Yeah.
Yeah, we thought it was kind of funny to use the only drone shot on the guy who's making the technology for the drones.
Exactly. Do you find, what is your opinion of where we're heading, though, with all this technological advancements? Having explored it and worked on this film for such a long time, have you felt that your own ideas have changed over the course of this process?
Maybe, like, it's gotten less black and white, because I think we went into it with quite a moralistic, and like David said, when we walked into that bar, we sort of saw the guys there as our counterparts. We didn't have that much in common with their beliefs, and maybe we still don't, but it's at least we have a better understanding, and some of them are good people. so it's all about context, I guess, you know. It's like, if I grew up in Indian Springs, who would I be? And I would probably be one of the worst guys there.
Really? Yeah, I think documentaries. Yeah. I mean, the documentary process is really a humbling process, because you kind of see your own prejudices and how you stereotype things, and you have to start questioning that and kind of look yourself in the mirror. And I think that is what I really like also with documentaries.
Yeah, there's a lot of empathy involved.
Yeah, yeah.
Guys, it's been a pleasure speaking with you. Really, I wish you all the best with the film. I remind the listeners that it's called Bellum, The Demon of War. Thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot, Matt.
Thanks, Matt.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.